What if the prison keeping you from happiness isn't external, but self-created? Drawing from ancient Vedic wisdom that has influenced minds from Gandhi to Jung, the sovereign self presents a revolutionary proposition. Absolute authority over your inner world is your spiritual birthright. This timeless philosophy offers something both radical and profoundly simple: the recognition that your deepest suffering stems not from circumstances, but from forgetting who you truly are. At its core lies a startling truth. You are not your limited body or restless mind, but the boundless consciousness animating both while transcending them completely. Imagine a banyan seed. When broken open, nothing visible appears inside. Yet from this nothingness grows an enormous tree. Similarly, your true self contains infinite potential while remaining invisible to ordinary perception. This self is timeless, ageless, and inherently blissful. The eternal light within that never worries, tires, or changes regardless of bodily conditions. From childhood, we're conditioned to seek happiness externally through relationships, possessions, and approval. This pursuit never ends. We always feel happiness is just one more achievement away. But a sovereign mind recognizes that the self is the only constant source of security and joy. If we're inherently whole and blissful beings, why don't we experience ourselves this way? The Vedic tradition explains this through Maya, a cosmic forgetfulness that prevents us from seeing our true self. Maya conceals what's real and projects what isn't there. Under its spell, we identify with the body, mind, and world instead of recognizing our boundless nature. As the author's grandfather explained, this world is an enchanted show. A spell has spread from mind to mind so that the one appears as many. Maya creates delusion, feeding the sense of a separate identity called ego, ahamkara. Like clouds generated by the sun that then veil it, the ego arisen from the self covers the reality of the self. We mistakenly identify with the body and mind, like electricity saying, "I am the bulb." For this disconnection, we pay heavily an emotional suffering, accepting biological and cultural limitations as destiny. There are two worlds, the objective world, Jagat, shared by all beings, and the subjective world, Samsara, created by our thoughts and beliefs. Our suffering mind is this subjective world, filled with our individual likes, dislikes, and judgments. Suffering follows a progression. Desire grows into craving, escalates to attachment, and when unfulfilled, transforms into grief and anger. The empowering news? Since we've authored this suffering mind, we can also dismantle it through self-knowledge. The Vedic tradition provides practical tools for mental purification through conscious awareness. This process demands self-inquiry, self-reflection, and self-piloting to free the mind from unconsciousness, rather than cycling between obsessions. When evaluating spiritual tools in today's market-driven pop spirituality landscape, we must recognize that drive-through spirituality approaches like quick affirmations or meditation prescriptions fail to address our deeper unconscious patterns. Our actions fall into three categories: unconscious action, following unexamined desires; unconscious inaction, abandoning legitimate desires; and conscious action, responding from a detached, well-considered position after discerning truth from illusion. The conscious mind operates without internal pressure, freely reviews and adjusts goals without self-shame, and prioritizes peace of mind above all else. Vyoga, conscious detachment, involves deliberately stepping away from thoughts, relationships, and media that no longer serve our spiritual growth. Through this practice, we reclaim emotional investments and declare our freedom to reinvent ourselves. Operating from this detached space, we release control and grasping, allowing quiet serenity to emerge. Witness consciousness, Sakshi, forms the foundation for cognitive spiritual practices. It teaches us to observe emotions objectively as passing phenomena rather than our true nature. With practice, this becomes a way of life, allowing us to recognize the part of ourselves that observes without judgment while making better choices. The inner witness remains eternally pure, untainted by mental activity. Like sunlight unaffected by what it illuminates, the Sakshi witnesses without judgment or desire for outcomes. Witnessing isn't an action, but the self's natural state, effortless seeing without sensory functions. While modern yoga often emphasizes thought cessation, the older Upanishadic tradition offers a more accessible, thoughtful meditation. Rather than eliminating thoughts, this approach transforms their quality from worldly to spiritual, from binding to liberating. Through contemplative meditation, the mind can change its perceptions. The breath connects inherently to thoughts. They are gross and subtle versions of each other. To cultivate inner freedom, practice breathing slowly and mindfully. Meditate on releasing what no longer serves you with each exhale while assimilating universal peace, love, and creativity with each inhale. Dharma represents voluntary self-restraint, conscious choice of higher values, and alignment with our true nature through compassion, kindness, and truthfulness. The Vedas don't morally judge desires for wealth and sensory enjoyment, provided we remain conscious while fulfilling them. Your conscience serves as Dharma's highest judge. Living by dharmic values bestows both social and self-approval by awakening you to higher personal standards. Each time Dharma is chosen over ego, sovereignty prevails. Desires should be non-binding, pursued with self-restraint, equitable, balanced between material and spiritual, universal, aligned with life's goals, pure, fulfilled ethically, and reciprocal, balanced with giving back. Fulfilling desires ethically through peaceful collaborations brings joy, power, and inner peace. The ethical guidelines of yamas and niyamas include nonviolence, truthfulness, non-stealing, compassion, uprightness, conscious eating, cleanliness of body and mind, contentment, giving from gratitude, and devotion toward divine allness. Atma Shakti, soul power, emerges from embracing our sovereign nature. When aware of this power, others naturally respect our boundaries. Unlike egoic power that breaks under pressure, soul power maintains equanimity when challenged. It's creative, flexible rather than rigid, and accommodates others' ignorance while seeing sin but not the sinner. The fundamental non-dual vision of Vedic seers reveals life's essential oneness. Despite appearances of separation, there exists only one universal essence, the self. Like one moon reflected in many waters, self appears as many, but remains singular. When we recognize the universe as a divine theater of transcendent consciousness, we find divinity in all eyes and circumstances. Every challenging situation carries purpose within an intelligent cosmos. Our suffering stems not from circumstances, but from our resistance to them. True liberation, moksha, comes not from abandoning the world, but living in it with inner freedom. The freedom Nelson Mandela experienced in prison or Helen Keller lived despite lack of sight. It's a present moment phenomenon within daily life, characterized by emotional maturity, contentment, and authenticity. The sovereignty journey begins with recognizing you are not your thoughts, emotions, or circumstances, but the boundless awareness witnessing it all. In reclaiming this forgotten truth, you reclaim your inherent freedom, not as something to achieve, but to remember. Your sovereign self has been waiting behind the veil of forgetfulness, ready to shine as your true nature.